Hear now the reading of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Just like a little child taking out a ball of Play-Doh and flattening it out and into that soft clay, pushing his or her hand to make an imprint of the hand, God, our Heavenly Father, has intervened in human history and imprinted himself into the actual history of our world through the incarnation of his Son. This plan of our salvation was not somehow worked out among the mythical gods in the clouds or somehow by the movement of the constellation and the stars. Rather, God works out the plan of how to get you and me to heaven by intervening in human history, by imprinting himself into the actual lives of this young couple from Nazareth. And when this takes place, it obviously creates quite an interesting dilemma, especially here for Joseph. I often wonder how long did God wait with his angel to intervene and talk to Joseph? Did he let him wrestle with this issue for a day or two or a week, maybe a month? We don't know. Can you imagine him finding out from his wonderful young fiancée as he's looking forward to getting married that here she is now expecting a child? I'm sure Mary tried to explain to him how God the Holy Spirit had caused this. You can imagine how that went over with Joseph maybe initially. But then the Lord realizes he needs to now intervene. And maybe did let this go on for a time. It got to the point where Joseph had started to make plans. We get a little insight into what Joseph is like spiritually, that he had even thought about and tried to figure out a way to end this relationship and set Mary aside as his future wife in a very quiet, secretive way so it wouldn't bring shame on her for her apparent infidelity. And so the Lord now lets this go on long enough so that it can highlight the very fact that this is his doing. And now, during a dream, he sends an angel to speak to Joseph and to reveal to him this beautiful divine plan. As Dr. Paul Kretzmann said, it was time for God to interfere. It was time for him to enter this couple's life and to put everything straight in their understanding. And just like Joseph, it's necessary for us to also be enlightened by God regarding the plan of his salvation. By ourselves, we could never have come up with this. You think about the Christmas story and the story and the working of how Christ had to go to the cross to atone for our sins, the resurrection of his body from the grave, his ascension into heaven, his promise to come back to take us to be with him. All of the plan of our salvation that God lays out for us in Scripture, could we ever have imagined it ourselves that way? Well, just to prove to you how incapable you and I would have been like that, the best minds in our world, apart from the revelation of God, have tried to come up with how to know God and get to God and relate to God and ultimately make it to heaven. Look at all of the ideas, the thousands of ideas that man has come up with. Not a single one is even close to this. It always begins with the false premise that there's something man has that he can do to offer God. It always is answered on the side of man's involvement, somehow man being the actor and man being the doer. But God must break through all of this, as he does with Joseph, and intervene to enlighten us and to teach us through his word, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that that would never work. That God himself must be the doer. He must be the actor. And he now comes through his word and enlightens us, as he did with Joseph, regarding this beautiful plan that he had to ultimately take us through the gates of heaven. But we would never have known this by ourselves. I think of the words of one of the first hymn in our hymn book here in the sanctuary, written by a guy named Tobias Klausnitzer. Gotta love that name, Klausnitzer. And he was a chaplain in the Swedish army. And one of the verses in that hymn says it so beautifully about us. All our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded. Man by himself could never, ever have figured out or known this beautiful plan of our salvation. And so God the Holy Spirit comes along and unveils it to us, just as he did with Joseph and to Mary. And this is now how God will be with us, Emmanuel. Can you imagine the relief that Joseph felt to hear this story unveiled to him, and how the Holy Spirit had caused this pregnancy inside of his fiance, with whom he had never been physically? One can only imagine the joy that started to swell up inside of him, and to know that his marriage was on again, first of all, but also that he was going to get to be a parent, an adoptive parent at that, and yet, at the same time, the greater joy of knowing that the Messiah he had been waiting for his whole life was now finally arriving. Because wrapped inside of this little story, this intervention in his personal human life, would be the very plan of our salvation, the one who would come to save his people from their sins. This little child would be coming not to provide us with a wonderful model for morality and how to be good people, or not to just teach us about how to improve our earthly lives, not to teach us how to have better families and marriages and be better parents, but he's come to be a savior. And in order to underline that, God makes sure to both parents, Mary and Joseph, God makes sure to both of these parents to tell them what the name would be. It's very rare in Scripture when God intervenes and even picks out the name for the child. But here it is very important. The name must be Jesus, because the name means something. Our names maybe don't mean a whole lot. Maybe there's a little reason why your name got picked, possibly for someone back in your family tree or something. But rarely do our names really mean. I don't even know what Don means. I remember in high school, there was a girl in my high school class named Joy, and she was about the saddest person I knew. And I always felt bad for her having to deal with that name. I hope she's happy today. But the name of Jesus had great meaning and great significance, not just for Mary and Joseph, but for the whole world, because this was his specific reason to come now, was to save people from their sins. What a privilege that you and I, by the Holy Spirit, just like Joseph, have been enlightened to know the plan of God's salvation and why he has intervened in history on our behalf. And in the same way that Mary and Joseph, when the Christ child was finally born, could look at him and his little face and think to themselves, just think, we get to be his parents. What a wonderful gift from God. You and I can go to that same cradle at Christmas time through the Word of God and look into the face of the Christ child and say, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Amen. Please rise. Please join me in one of the great collects in the season of Advent on page 147. Page 147, collect number 6. By the way, the Advent collects, all of them are just magnificent. Not that others aren't, but these are especially wonderful. Please join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to become man and to come into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil, Deliver us, poor offenders, from sin and death, and give us everlasting life. We beseech you so to rule and govern our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may seek no other refuge than his word, and thus avoid the sin to which we are by nature inclined, in order that we may always be found among the faithful followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in him obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.